Thomas Oliver Milbourne about the loopholes in transgender healthcare.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is CJ Fritz, Dan Raphael, Zelos Marchand, and Emmett White. The producer is Kyle Carresi. Our engineer is David Kesters. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelos Marchand. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Erin J. Bernard.
And I'm Zelos Marchand. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, it's 7. It's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Sojourner Truth Radio looks at the backlash to Trump's trades war. At 9, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, Fight the Empire welcomes journalist Joe Loria from ConsortiumNews.com, who says that the U.S. media is clinging to hopes of Russian collusion. At 10, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, Lisa Loving welcomes back Gregory Pardlow to talk about his new book, Air Traffic. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk welcomes librarian Patricia Hurt Hobson to discuss the best books they've ever read. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO with news from your community radio station.
Hello, hello, folks, and welcome to News from the Boo. This is your weekly update about what's happening in and around KBOO. I'm your host this evening, Delphine Crescenzo, and I'm really excited to be joined again by Stephen Hanks, joining us to talk about the second annual Albina Jazz Festival. Welcome, Stephen.
Delphine, thanks for having me.
So, Stephen, the Albina Jazz Festival is happening again this year. Congratulations. I'm really excited. Yeah. And it's happening on August 11th. So would you share with the audience a little bit more about the details and what are you excited about for the festival this year?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the Albina Jazz Festival, we're going to do another tribute again this year. As you said, August 11th and the 12th, which is a Saturday and Sunday. And this event is a tribute to pay homage to the jazz scene that used to be in the Albina neighborhood back from, like, say, the mid-40s all the way up to probably the 70s. And even into the 80s, we could say. But the hottest part of that era or heyday was from the mid-40s up until at least 1960, where we had all kind of jazz clubs right along Williams Avenue, over by Broadway Avenue, Broadway Bridge and Steel Bridge, over where Memorial Coliseum is at today. And for any of your listeners who don't know, those jazz clubs were torn down when they built the Memorial Coliseum.
Right.
And so that was in 1957 when those buildings were torn down. But what I'm excited about is that we will be able to have the festival again in the same location we did last year, which is at the Stingray Cafe, which is right across the street from the Moda Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be inside a building called the Left Bank Building. And that building is historical because that building was one of the only structure that's still standing in that area where a lot of the jazz clubs were. This building is still standing, and it was a jazz club in 1945. It was called the Dude Ranch, and so we're very excited to be able to have it again there. And two just to give you a little information about that, the Dude Ranch, it opened in 1945. Two African-American businessmen, Pat Patterson and Sherman Pickett, they both were the co-owners of that. And we had national acts coming into Portland performing at the Dude Ranch. We had national jazz artists such as Art Tatum, Thelonious Monk. I understand that Count Basie played there just impromptu. He happened to be in town, and he did a concert there. It was sold out. They had it for 2 days. We had Oscar Peterson was there, Nat King Cole, and several others. So Louis Armstrong also played in the inside the Dude Ranch. So we're very excited that we're going to be able to have the festival right there and be able to kind of recreate what it was like back in those days.
And so the festival last year was the very first year. Would you give our listeners a little bit of a background as to why you chose to start this this festival, as you say, to commemorate and celebrate the vibrant history, but still a living community of jazz in Portland?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the Albina neighborhood, just to give you a little history, it was Albina neighborhood was actually a city back in the 1890s. It was incorporated into Portland. Portland had three cities at that time. You had downtown, you had East Portland, that was a separate city, and then you had Albina. It was a small independent city of its own, and then around 1890 all three of them incorporated together and it became City of Portland. And so Albina neighborhood or Albina city, It was a melting pot. You had people from German background, Irish, Mediterranean, Chinese, and even a small pocket of African Americans that were living there. And then, of course, when World War II came around, we had a big explosion of African Americans who migrated to Portland. They were looking for work. They started working at the shipyards. And many of them went to Vanport City. Vanport is very well known in the history of Portland. And, of course, so when that city was flooded out in 1948, many of those African-Americans moved into the Portland area, and many of them moved into Albina. And that created a influx of people who were interested in jazz music. And we had jazz clubs that were springing up all into the Albina neighborhood as a result of that. And as I said, many of those jazz clubs were torn down. But then just the Albina neighborhood went through a lot of internal pressure from the city. There's been a lot of economic things that hit the neighborhood very hard during those decades, the 50s, 60s, 70s, even up today. We see still change going in Albina. And, of course, change is inevitable. It's always good to have, we always have some form of gentrification. But many people were pushed out of their neighborhoods. Many people lost their homes, businesses. Not only the Memorial Coliseum being built, but also the I-5 freeway was built right through the Albina neighborhood, which at that time was the African-American community. And later, the Emmanuel Hospital had plans to expand their campus, and that also happened in the heart of Albina neighborhood. Albina neighborhood, the borders of it, you had from the Steel Bridge all the way to Lombard Street, and then you had Martin Luther King Avenue, which was at that time was called Union Avenue, to Interstate Avenue. So that was the Albina neighborhood, and then you had Lower Albina, which was down by the Moda Center, Coliseum, and then you had Upper Albina. That neighborhood's been hit pretty hard throughout the last 50-plus years, and so we just wanted to do a tribute to at least remember the jazz music that came out at that time and just to, try to help heal some of the hurt that came out of much of the homes and the businesses that were lost due to the what they call urban renewal,
right? Also known as gentrification.
Yes.
And so I hope folks are appreciating by now all of your historical insight, Stephen. But you are somebody who is an archivist, a historian, and you've been looking at the history of Portland. And a lot of that history that you're recounting to us, like that of the city of Albina, is information that you find on your own or that you've gathered through conversations with your own family. Could you talk a little bit about your passion for history, maybe some of the walking tours that you've done? I don't know if you still do those, and how they connect to this particular jazz festival.
Yeah, thank you for asking. Well, I'd say about maybe 3 years ago, let me take that back. I was got interested in genealogy way back in the late 90s, and wanted to learn about my family roots and where my family came from, my father's side, my mother's side, and so I started learning about history, and that led to history of Portland, and particularly neighborhood. So it was very interesting. I started a tour to be able to go around to talk to different ones, get stories about some of the early African-American pioneers in Portland, like from the 1850s all the way up to the turn of the century, and located some of the locations that are in downtown. So I have not done the tour yet because I've been so focused on the festival, but we do have selected Saturdays where we do the tour, and of course we do private tours also. People can go on my Facebook page and they can message me if they would like to go on a walking tour sometime, and or they could email me at PortlandPioneersOfColor@yahoo.com. But yeah, I was talking to my father and my mother, and my mother lived in Albina neighborhood. She came to Portland in 1945 from St. Louis, Missouri. And so she had brought us kids up, me and my brother, in Albina neighborhood. So I learned a little bit about that, and then my father, he was in the Navy. He came to the state of Oregon in 1952. He was stationed in Astoria, Oregon, and on the weekends he would drive all the way up to Portland with some of his buddies, and he would come to the jazz clubs over there on Williams Avenue. And so I learned a few stories from my dad. One thing I want to tell your listeners also, I haven't mentioned this, but my father, he was fortunately able to come to the festival last year, but he may not be able to, he probably won't be able to make it this year. He's very ill. He's battling a very serious illness right now, and so we are hoping that he will pull through. And so right now he's actually on hospice, and so he won't be able to attend the festival this year, but I hope that he will still be with us in August, and I'll be able to share with him many photographs, recorded music, and we're going to have a great lineup also, as we did last year for the festival.
I'm so sorry to hear about your dad, Stephen, and I really send you all the positive energy possible.
Thank you.
Would you share a little bit about the lineup? Who is performing this year? Who performed last year? Are you trying to get some folks who used to perform in those clubs to come and perform again? Who is going to be at the festival on August 11th and 12th?
Well, we're going to have a great lineup. I'm very excited about it. We're some of the ones that we're going to have roots in the early Albina neighborhood and the history of Albina. So very excited, and I hope they'll be able to share their individual stories when they perform their sets. We're going to have Ronstein, a local drummer that's very well known, and he was actually at our festival last year also. He was our headliner on Saturday evening. This time he's going to partner up with Tom Grant on Sunday at 2 p.m. I hope everybody will be able to come and give their support to Ronstein and Tom Grant together on Sunday, August 12th at 2 p.m. So please give them your support and come down and support them. And we also are going to have Tevis Hodge. He's come here from Virginia. And he's a local blues guitarist, a phenomenal blues guitarist. I think people are going to love him. He'll be Saturday. He's going to open up our festival on Saturday at 1 p.m. And so we hope people will come down and hear him. We're also going to have Dan Balmer, an awesome jazz guitarist. And Dan Balmer, many people maybe not know this, but he had his education in the Albina neighborhood, if I might say. He played in some of the early clubs, a little bit maybe later on than the heyday, but he played with Mel Brown's band and other different ones, Sweet Baby James Benton. And so Dan is going to be there, and he's going to be, actually he's going to be a special guest with a group called Subtonic Trio. And so we're very excited to have them. Devin Phillips, he will be back again. He was there last year. He's going to be our closer on Saturday night. He's a phenomenal saxophone player from New Orleans. So we're going to have a little gumbo jazz Saturday night. So please come and give your support to Devin Phillips. And I might just add maybe a couple of more interesting acts. We're going to also have Dan Brewster, and he, if any of you know him, he was one of the founding members of the band Pleasure. That was a local band here in Portland that actually went national, and they came out with their first album in the 1970s, and Dan is going to be there. He's formed his own band called A Step Above, so we're looking forward to hearing him. And then I would just say that Sunday evening, we're going to also have a closer with Kurt Green Band and his jazz funk. Kurt Green has been around for at least three decades, and he's actually was a high school classmate of mine at Wilson High School, but he's on fire now. He's a phenomenal pianist, and he will be performing as our closing act on Sunday, and there's going to be many, many more. Just go to our website, albinajazzfestival.com, and you'll see the lineup and the times of the schedules. It's going to be great.
Thank you so much, Stephen Hanks, for joining us and for organizing the second annual Albina Jazz Festival.